Welcome to A New Testament Journey. We'll have our Bible reading followed by our devotional.
Chapter 3. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We live in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. As soon as I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, because I have decided to winter there. Do everything you can to help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way and see that they have everything they need. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive lives. Everyone with me sends you greetings. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all.
Again we hear it. We are saved so that we would devote ourselves to doing what is good. The ship has sailed. The coach has departed. The train has left the station. The goal and purpose of the Christian faith was defined long ago. When we come to faith, we buy into a movement whose purpose is set. We agree to be taken in a certain direction. We devote ourselves to doing what is good. If we want to debate that, then Paul will listen twice, but on the third time he will just throw us overboard. There comes a time when we just need to submit. We just need to yield ourselves to God's purpose for Christianity. So I ask myself whether I actually do good, and how much effort have I actually put into doing more good? What does that mean anyway? A growing sense in the evangelical church is that we've prioritised racing pulses, large gatherings, quick fixes and pragmatic solutions to the reformation of our souls. We've wanted results rather than renovated hearts. We've lost the vision of what it really is to be a Christian. We've publicised busy buildings instead of people who do good all through the week. How could we rebuild a vision of a truly good life, lived in joy before God? Well, Paul says at the start of this chapter that doing good is to slander no one. It is to be peaceable and considerate and to show true humility towards all men. Doing good is played out in relationships more than in activities. Doing good is about what attitude I have to the people who are already in my life. The vision of the good life is a life of good relationships, of genuine cleanness in how we relate to others. We earn money to keep our family fed and well, and we give them attention and honour, celebrating what they do well. Doing good is to be someone who serves sacrificially at church and also speaks well of the atheists and the backsliders and the bozos who vote for the other party. Doing good refuses to be divided over politics or to be quick to pass judgment on someone who has done something wrong. It doesn't get easily stressed. It isn't often too busy for people. It rarely snaps back with an answer that it regrets. Ultimately, doing good comes down to seeing the image of God in people, to interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves, to attend to others. And this is the gospel. You can become that kind of good person. Through Jesus, the Holy Spirit has been generously poured out. He will enable you to become good if you allow the Spirit to work and reform in your heart. That is what it means for grace to be with you. Question for reflection. How beautiful would it be to have a truly good heart?
We pray God's word bears fruit in your life. For all the information about the New Testament Journey, head to www.anewtestamentjourney.net.